Folks, there are times in my life when I just wish the clock did not exist. Typically, it was in my past and I was out on a date and curfew was coming and I just wanted to pretend that there was no clock there to keep the date going. So this morning, are you willing to pretend that you're on a date with God? And pretend that the clock's not there? Are you willing to?
Yes.
All right, are you willing to hear a message from the Lord? Okay, well, you've been sitting long enough, so stand up, everybody. Sometimes you got to get the wiggles out. So, turn to the person to your right or to your left. Turn to them and say, "The Lord has a message for you." All right, and then you answer back to them and say, "I want to hear His message. I want to hear His message." All right, thank you very much. You can sit down. Hopefully we got the wiggles out there. All right, bow your heads with me, and let's pray. Almighty Father in heaven, indeed today you have a message for us. And I know, Lord, it's within your power to stop the clock and to stop the sun. If you choose to do that, praise the Lord. If not, then you just help us to pretend that the clock doesn't even exist. Because, Lord, today we want to hear from you. We want to know more about your truth and what you have for us today. So fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to listen, Lord. Help us to see. And help us to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, when you're a kid, there is something about a basement that is just kind of scary. Dark basements can just, they can stand the hair up on the back of your neck. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I would go downstairs. I would walk downstairs by myself into our dark basement. But man, I hit the light switch on as soon as I got down there. Because there's something about when the light comes, it's no longer as scary. This world we live in can be dark and scary at times. There's so many people who live in this world afraid, scared of the future, scared what might happen at 6 o'clock today. Have you heard about that gentleman proclaiming that the rapture's today, 6 o'clock? Folks, I'll see you at 6:01.
Amen.
Amen. God's word still has more for us. I do believe His coming is soon, though. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just like we heard in our scripture reading. Some people are scared of the future. Some people are trapped by the past. But maybe we just need to find a way to turn on the light. If you'd open your Bibles with me to John chapter 9, we're going to look at a story today. You got a Bible nearby, grab it, open it up to John chapter 9, and we're going to look at this amazing story that I think speaks to us on this day when we've had people give their hearts to the Lord. John chapter 9, a story about when God shines His light and how people respond to that light. And it all begins with a not-so-innocent question. John chapter 9, verse 1. "Now as Jesus passed by, He saw a man who was blind from birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, that this man or his parents, who was it, that he was born blind?'" They asked that question. Who sinned? Who's at fault for this? Who caused this suffering? What a question, huh? Well, we ask that question a lot, don't we? Why is this happening? Why did this awful thing happen? I want you to notice, as you look in verse 3, Jesus answers, but He doesn't answer their question. He never answers their question of why this happened or who's at fault. They wanted to know what was the cause of this man's blindness. But Jesus doesn't answer. Because the fault or the cause is not as important as the outcome. The outcome of this is that God will be glorified. That's what Jesus says. He says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." The outcome is what's important, that God will be glorified. And folks, we have to remember that in our lives too. A major theme for John throughout the Gospel of John is found in John chapter 9, verse 5. Jesus says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And Jesus is the light of the world. And you find that throughout John, this idea of light. 1 verse 5, it's there. 3 verse 19, 8 verse 12, 12 verse 35 and on. It says, I am the light of the world. And it's hard to miss light when it shines, isn't it? I mean, even a blind person knows when the sun is shining, amen? That's right. Well, years ago, I got together with a group of friends and we were playing sand volleyball one day. Now, I was athletic at that time and I could play sand volleyball, but I didn't exercise at all at this point in my life. I just wasn't on my agenda. And we played sand volleyball for hours, all day long we played. And again, my body was not used to this sort of exercise. But I was young, and so it didn't even enter my mind. So I got home that night, went to sleep, and I tell you this, I like to sleep in a dark room. I mean, dark. So dark that I would put tinfoil on my parents' windows and then blinds over that so that no light would come in. One of my cousins slept in my room one day, and he called it a sensory deprivation chamber. It was that dark. I would take a pair of jeans and put them by the door, the crack by the door that lets light in, cover it all up so I could sleep. So I went to sleep that night, and I can't explain this. I don't know how it happened, but somehow a beam of light got through the tinfoil, through the blinds, I don't know how, and hit me right in the face in the morning. And I have a strong sensitivity to light. And so I reached my arms up like that. And as soon as I moved my arms, my whole body hurt. So it was like, And the light was like, I am dying. What is going on? Oh, it was awful. It was horrible. And it's still to this day, I don't know how that happened, how the light got through, but it did. And it woke me up that morning. But it reminds me, folks, that when light shines, we have two choices. Get up and follow, or squeeze our eyes shut, cover our heads with blankets, pretend it's not there, and hope it goes away. What will we do when God shines His light? Anybody here ever taken a mud bath before? On purpose, I mean, not by accident. A mud bath. There's so many people now who spend lots of money to get covered in mud, which to me is wild because kids know how to do it for free. It sounds strange, but there are many who do that and they're soothed by it. But would you like to take a mud bath from Jesus? Look at verse 6 with me, staying in John 9, verse 6. When Jesus had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. He made mud. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. He went and washed, and he came back seeing. How would you like a mud bath from Jesus? God is glorified. Just like Jesus predicted, the man comes back and he's able to see. But now is when the story gets interesting. There's no controversy over what happened. They all admit this is a miracle. The controversy is over how this happened, who is responsible, or who should get the glory. Look at verse 10. They start questioning him. Is this the guy who was born blind? Is it him? Is it like him? We're not sure. Verse 10 says, therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man called Jesus. A man called Jesus. That's the answer. That's the testimony, amen? And friends, that should be everyone's testimony, a man named Jesus. I hope that line is in your testimony, in your story. He's not just a man, but a man named Jesus. Now, that should be the end of the controversy. Okay, Jesus did it. But it only gets trickier. Look at what happens. The religious folk have a problem with this miracle, which to me is just amazing. The religious folk get upset. Upset that a man born blind can see. Why are they upset? Because this miracle, this healing, this amazing event happened on Sabbath. Now, if this were a mystery show, there'd be the music would have went dun 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 right there. I didn't know if it was going to be rainy today. I said to the Lord, this would be a perfect time for a crash of lightning and thunder. On Sabbath. Listen to what they say. John chapter 9, verse 16. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Can't be from God. He healed someone on the Sabbath. Wow. Do you realize what's happening, folks? God does a miracle. He heals a man born blind. No one had that power at that day. And yet, because God was working in a way that they did not expect, God was working outside of the little box that they had tried to keep God in. So they said, this can't be from God. And Jesus had said, this man is blind so that God will be glorified. Jesus said, I am the light of the world and I am about to shine. But were the religious people willing to glorify God because of this healing? No. Did they enjoy seeing the light? Or did they squeeze their eyes shut, cover their heads with blankets, refuse to see and follow? This miracle happens. They see God at work, and yet they choose to close their eyes to what God is doing right in their midst. And friends, we got to be careful. Don't be too quick to throw stones at the Pharisees, because we can do the exact same thing. Do we as a church sometimes witness, see God working, performing miracles, blessing people's ministry, and refuse to see what God is doing right in front of us? Do we refuse to acknowledge that God is working and blessing simply because God is working in a way that we were not expecting? Working in a way that maybe He hasn't worked before. How big is the box that we have put God in? And what will we do if Jesus busts out of our box, just like He busts out of the Pharisees' box? Look at verse 24 with me now. Follow along in the story. This controversy continues. Follow me down John chapter 9, verse 24. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. Speaking about Jesus. Don't say he was the cause of it. It came from God. You hear what they're saying? Give glory to God, not Jesus. Trying to force this man to worship God their way. And there's a threat behind it. We will kick you out of the synagogue if you don't do as you're told. Forcing people to worship God their way. Friends, does this story speak to us living in the end of time? You better believe it does. Because the Bible predicts that one day religious leaders and governments will again force people to worship God their way. The Bible predicts that. That's why I'm not worried about tonight at 6 o'clock, because there are things that still have yet to happen. But friends, on that day, when that day comes, when governments and religious leaders are forcing people to worship God the way they want, on that day, what will we do? I pray that we will have the faith of this man who was born blind. Listen to what he says in verse 25. Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. He's charged to tell the truth, and he gives his testimony, and they can't argue with that miracle. I pray that when the end comes for us, when we will be able to stand by faith alone, unable to trust what we see, unable to trust what we hear, unable to even trust our emotions, I pray that we will be like this man, and continue to trust in Jesus, what He has done and is doing in our lives. That's my prayer today. Look at verse 26 now. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open up your eyes? And he answered, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Ooh, I like this guy. Don't tell me there's no humor in the Bible, because he gets them right there. The light was shining, but they were refusing to see. Down to verse 30 now. The man answered and said to them, "Why is this a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from? Yet he opened my eyes." Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. There's his confession of faith. There's his testimony. And yet the religious leaders, faced with the miracle, faced with this testimony, choose not to see. Does this happen today? Can religious people, can church folk refuse to see God's light? Folks, today God shone his light to all of us. And he does it every day. Today we saw Nick get baptized. Now, Nick grew up in the church. He grew up in this church, right, Nick? I remember back in the day when he used to look up to me. Now I got to look up to him. He was taught about God from beginner class all the way through school. But Nick, you didn't truly see God, did you? Like myself, Nick chose to go his own way. And Nick's choices took him down roads, took him places that he'd never guessed that he'd be in his younger years. But folks, praise the Lord, Jesus doesn't give up on us. Jesus doesn't give up on shining his light. And this coming Friday, 7 o'clock? At 7 o'clock, Nick's going to be here. We're going to have a Vespers right here at Piedmont. And Nick is going to tell his story. And folks, I'm here to tell you, it is an amazing story of God's grace. Be here this coming Friday at 7 o'clock. You want to hear what God has done in this young man's life. Jesus shined his light in Nick's life. Through his family, he shined. Through a youth conference that Nick went to, he shined. And through the Bible studies. And Nick chose to allow Christ to open his spiritual eyes that he might truly see. Christ does not give up on us. He keeps looking for ways to shine his light to wake us up. As Pastor Dean shared earlier, Maria got a flyer to a set of meetings. Students from Union College went and invited her. That's shining the light, isn't it? You bet it is. And then Rodney and Sydney, two members here at our church, befriended Maria, gave her rides every night. Again, that's shining the light, is it not? You better believe it is. And Maria came, and she heard powerful messages about God's grace, about his light, through eighth grade preachers. Can Jesus' light shine through an eighth grader? Amen. Yes, amen. And Maria, when she came to those meetings, had a choice to make. And it's the same choice that I had to make years ago in my partying crazy days. It's the same choice that we all have to make. When we say, God is shining his light, he's telling me truth, will I follow? Will I choose to see? Or will I choose to be blind? What will I do with truth? Let me see if I can illustrate that for you with your help. All right, let's find some helpers today. I've noticed ever since I had people come up here that Malcolm sits in the very middle of the pew with tons of people around him so that I can't get him anymore. So let's see, who should help today? Richard, would you help? You sat too close to the edge. Richard, head up to the front there. There's no point in always picking on people who sit in the front, though. So Rich, would you come and join me up at the front? We're going to help people realize about what we do when God shines his light. Rich, yeah, I was hoping you were coming. Good. Come up here. Let's say, I've got two Riches here. Richard and Rich are having a Bible study with me. Let's say for some reason we're here at midnight. I don't know why, but we are. And there's a thunderstorm, and boom, the lightning hits, and all the lights go out in the building. Even the exit lights are gone. And we're here. You guys start to panic. But I said, don't worry, it's going to be all right, because I came prepared. And I go over to my bag. You just never know what's going to be in this bag over here. I have a couple flashlights. And I turn them on, and I give them to both of you. And I say, guys, don't worry. don't worry, because you got a flashlight there. I turn it on, and I show you guys how to use that light. And I say, now you guys use that to get out to the front north entrance. I'm going to go through the rest of the building and make sure everything is okay. All right? So that's what we do. And so I leave, and then Richard turns his light on. He says, I got it. And he follows the light, and he goes through the pews, through the door, out to the front, makes it there just fine. All right? But Rich, now Rich, you've been in this church for quite a while. So Rich looked at this and says, come on. Now, I've been in this church 1,000 times. So he turns the light on and off and says, I don't need this. And he sets it down. He says, I don't need that. I know how to get out of here. So he starts walking, only he misguesses where the aisle is. So instead of going safely down the aisle, he bangs his knees, boom, right in there. His head pitches forward, bang, right on the pew. Now he's stumbling. Oh, man, I hurt my head. And he's walking. So doesn't know where he's going. So he walks and he trips over these steps right here, falls down. Now he's hurting his elbow. My head hurts, my knees, my elbow, and so he starts walking. I know this is the way out, only he falls and stumbles down these steps right here, down the hallway. He's stumbling, feeling, can't find his way. He goes, he ends up in one of the bathrooms back here even. He says, where am I at? This is horrible. He keeps following. Finally, he finds some more steps. He crawls up, and then he ends up falling into the baptistry. He stands up, his knees are hurting, holding his head, elbow hurts, and he says, this is all Pastor Michael's fault. Rich, is it my fault? No. Is it my fault, folks, that Rich ended up in the baptistry? No. Normally, that's a good place to be on Sabbath. But not right then. Thank you, guys. I'll let you go back to your seats. Whose fault was it? Well, it was Rich's fault because he had the light. I gave him the light. I showed him how to use it, and he set it aside, said, I don't need it. Goodbye, light. I'll make it on my own. Well, folks, we do that in life sometimes, don't we? We do that. The light goes out, and we think, I can make it on my own. You see, folks, God has given us a light. Amen. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And many times we take this light, we shut it, we set it aside, we turn it off. We close our eyes to it. Then we end up sometimes falling down, getting hurt. You know who we blame? We blame God. What are you doing, God? It says, I gave you the light. Don't turn it off. What will we do with God's light? Today, Alan was baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And Alan shared with me the story of how he lost his sight in his life. And he explained to me how actually losing his sight helped him to find the Lord Jesus. And he told me that this story in John 9 meant so much to him when he was going through this struggle of losing his vision. And I was amazed by his faith. Truly amazed. For he told me that even without literal sight, God has helped him to see spiritual light and spiritual truth. And he's determined to follow. Alan is already getting involved in shining the light. He's working at Christian Record Services, volunteering there, wanting to get involved here in our radio programming. It's exciting to see someone who wants to share. And folks, at a future Vespers, Alan's going to be sharing his testimony. And when we set that date, I'm going to invite you and I want you to come because it is an amazing story again of God's grace. Following God's light and truth. Folks, sometimes it's not easy. Look at verse 34 now in John 9. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins. That's what they tell the man born blind. And you're teaching us. And they cast him out. What a day this guy had. What a Sabbath he experienced. A miracle. He can see. Praise the Lord. And then kicked out of church. Wow. Talk about a roller coaster. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. What a roller coaster. Able to see, kicked out of church. Folks, there is a price for following God. Amen. And then he meets Jesus face to face. He has seen the light literally and spiritually, and he chooses to follow. There are some who follow the light when it comes, but not all. Verse 39, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." Alan, Nick, Maria, today you followed the light. Today your sin is washed away. May you, may we, never end up being a Pharisee Christian. May we never become a Seventh-day Pharisee, amen?
Amen?
Closing our eyes to God's light, even if it comes in ways we did not expect. May we be willing to follow, and may we be willing to shine the light that Jesus has given us. Friends, Alan's fiance, April, shared the light that Jesus gave to her, and she shared it with Alan. Eighth graders shared the light Jesus gave to them in meetings that Maria came to. Preachers at a youth conference did their part, shared their light, and Nick responded. I want you to know, no matter how black the darkness may seem, no matter what darkness you have been in, no matter what darkness threatens to surround you today, all it takes is one candle to get lit, and darkness has to go away. All it takes is one candle. But friends, one candle doesn't have to stand alone. If you got your candle lit, you just stand next to someone else. Share your light till their candle gets lit. And don't worry about the light you have. Maybe all you got is just a 60-watt bulb. That's all you got? Shine it. Or maybe you got one of those bright new LED lights. If you got that, shine it. Maybe the Lord's given you one of them fancy floodlights. Then turn it on and shine it. Or maybe all you got is a little candle flame. But don't you worry, because the smallest flame can drive away the darkness. Don't worry about what you got. Just use what you got. Use the gifts that God has given to you. For a person is not lost because they didn't have a strong enough light from the Lord. A person is lost because they chose in their life to not follow the light that Jesus had given them. Sydney and Rodney Boderstrasse, been giving Bible studies to Maria. Now guys, how many years at the seminary have you been there? At the seminary? No years at the seminary? All right. Eighth graders, who did the preaching a few weeks ago? How many homiletics classes? How many preaching classes did you take over at Union College? None? Whoa. Renee, you're teaching our new believer Sabbath school class, right? Now you got your doctorate, right? Not quite yet. Wow. But all of you guys, and all of you guys can still help others learn about Jesus. Amen? We can still share the good news. We can still shine the light. Seminary's good. Homiletics classes are great. Having your doctorate, I don't know, I don't have it. But I'm sure it's good to have. But you don't have to have those lights in order to shine your light from Jesus. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
John chapter 9, verse 5. Jesus said, "While I am in the world, I am the light." But he knew that someday he was going to leave. But folks, he still wants to shine his light. Amen? He still wants to change lives today. Amen?
Amen?
He still wants to dispel spiritual darkness. And this is how he does it. In Matthew 5, verse 14, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." While I'm in the world, I'm the light. But I'm not in the world anymore, so you are the light of the world. So let's follow the light wherever God leads. And let's shine the light that He gives us and light our world.